Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I wanted to sing a song when I was to preach, but the last song has taken over that. Can you close your eyes and make a declaration? Every sentence Jesus told John, he said, I'm he that has the keys of hell and death. I have the keys. I open, no man shut, and I shut, no man opens. Can you shut the door of death and sudden death in your life? He said, I open, no man can shut, and when I shut, no man opens it. This one, we want it shut. He said, whatever you will ask my Father in my name, I will do. Whatever you ask my Father in my name, I will do. I'm shutting the door of death. Sudden death, slow action death, whatever is death, whatever it may be, physical death, it could be life death, it could be business death, it could be whatever manifestation of death that is operating in my life, I shut it down. I close that door in the name of Jesus. It's the decree. The Bible said this privilege as the saints of God. They have the privilege to shut. They have the privilege to open. Today, because it has been closed and it has been opened in heaven, we shut it. We shut the operation of death. It says, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your power? I am not a candidate. My life is not a candidate. I refuse. I will not allow death, whether it is my family, my children, in my body, all those operations of death, I close the door. In the name of Jesus, I close the door. Every sentence, people have spoken in secret. They say, we will see how long you will last before you die. They will wait in vain. Because he that has the keys of hell and death has given us permission to open or shut as we will. This privilege has the saints. We exercise our rights in the spirit. We exercise our rights in Christ Jesus. And we shut the operation of death. We shut the operations of death against us. You will not kill us. We will not die. In the name of Jesus. There was a man called Simeon. And Jesus, the Spirit of God said, you shall not see death until you see the Lord's Christ. I declare that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. I shall see the goodness of God. I shall see the work of God in the midst of his church. I will not die. I will live to declare the glory and the praises of God. All the seed in my body will not die. That which I have produced will not die. Oh, that which has come forth of my loins will not die. In the name of Jesus, I will not bury any of my children. Oh, Balaam said, let me die the death of the righteous. And I declare that that is my portion, even in the land of the living. Oh, my exit will be glorious. Oh, it will be honorable to God. It will be pleasing to God. I will not, my blood will not litter the ground. Oh, my blood will not be a sacrifice on the roads. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is he who preserves my going out and my coming in. I make the declaration, it is well with me. It is well with my children. I activate, I call to bear the covenant of life over my life in the name of Jesus. Over my children in the name of Jesus. Whether spiritual or natural, I declare over them that they shall live. The Bible says they are the seed and the planting of the Lord. They shall be called the priest of the Most High God. Oh, the priests were those who stood between the living and the dead because they were carriers of life. I declare that I am the carrier of life in the name of Jesus. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I minister under the unction, under the unction of the high priest. I come under the covering of the high priest. Thank you, Lord of glory. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, there is that makes me come into your presence, my helper. There is something that makes me come into your presence. If you want to dance, my helper, oh. My helper, oh.
My helper,
my helper,
oh. You are my helper,
oh. My helper,
hey.
There is something that makes me come into your presence. My helper,
oh, my helper,
oh. My helper,
you are my helper.
My helper,
my helper,
my helper,
oh, my helper,
my helper.
Yeah, you are the reason why I am always in your presence.
My helper,
you are the reason why I am always in your presence.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you.
My helper.
My helper. There is something that makes me come into your presence. My helper.
My helper.
My helper. My helper. There is something that makes me come into your presence. Father, we give you praise. We thank you because you are our helper. From ages past, you have been our helper. It is you that will see us to the end. We give you glory. We give you praise. We will not spoil your testimonies in the name of Jesus. In us, it will be confirmed that good and great is the Lord. Mighty is he, oh, that warreth. Mighty is he that sits upon the throne, who will bring to pass all that he has spoken concerning us. We give you praise and glory, our helper. It took us, we have prayed and worshiped together in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Please, can you have our seats? God bless you. Glory to God. I want to take my exhortation before we go into the communion. Take the communion, rather. We are already in the communion. Praise God. Concerning that which Pastor Ogi has asked, it shall be looked into. Hallelujah. Don't let me say it shall be granted. It shall be looked into. We shall see how it will work it out. Praise God. But like I said, it caused the consequences. Because it will not be as if when we are leaving at 1 p.m., you start grumbling. Uh-huh. Shall you understand? There is not that say pastor will now say, or someone will now say, who has something to share? All of you keep quiet and be looking like Dundee United. Hmm? Do we agree? Do we agree? That if we extend time, you will not come to church and have nothing to share. That will be struggling with you to come and handle microphone. Where we now say, come and share, you now pass outside there and go like this and go like this. Do you agree? They are not agreeing, though. Who will stand on your behalf? I say on behalf of the people of Nigeria. Who will stand and give? We should do experiment. Okay, all right. We will try experiment because Show of Nigeria said, "We the people of Nigeria." I don't know when I gathered together to agree to a position. I didn't choose them. They came by bullet and gun. I didn't nominate them. I just woke up in the morning and said, fellow countrymen. And that's how they now did one contraption called constitution. So, sorry, technically, I'm not bound by that constitution. Amen. So I've decided to agree to another constitution which is higher. Amen. Some of my friends were fighting Trump. They said Trump tells lies. I said, tell me one politician that does not tell lies. Just one. Just name me one. And then I shall tell you that that is an angel. It is given to politicians to tell lies. It's his nature. Benny. And somebody said that politicians wonder why people believe them. He just looks at me. Shall guys, you go out normal. He knows himself that he's lying, and yet you believe him. Praise God. But we have somebody who does not lie. And that's what he also tells us. He says that, let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay. Say anything more than this, it's sin. It's sin. Don't say you are lying because you are playing. It's not politics. Many, in fact, the only politicians that will likely make heaven are those who get born again 1 hour before their death. That's my theory. Yo. It's not the Bible. Yo. Because if you give him enough time, he will still come back again and start telling lie again. It's just their nature. But that's not your nature. Praise God. Are you with me? Let us be committed. Because if we say we are going to agree to something, let us stand by it. Let us have something to share. Of course, nobody wants your presentation to be graded. And then you are ridiculed. Ah, they laugh. Ah, can you share it like that? Don't you know Bible? The people laughing at you can't come out. Oh. Praise God. But let us learn how to be free. That's the purpose of the communion. Let's be free. Even if you make mistakes and people laugh, it's not as if they want to ridicule you. And when you're laughing, don't laugh like you want to ridicule the person. Because the only person who has right to laugh is he who has done it better. Are you with me? If you have not done it and you have not come out, don't talk. A king challenged another king. That king was coming back from battle. And one king was challenging him to battle. And he said, let not him who puts on the armor boast like he who's putting it off. Don't boast. So don't make fun of people if you have not even tried or been in their shoes. You have been in their shoes and they didn't do it well. Okay, this is how to do it. This is how you do it. And tomorrow you get better. Listen, the first time I handled microphone, before I stood before the school to do the bit, it was a disaster. Have you heard about disaster? That man was the number one final disaster. Now, technically, I swore I won't talk again for the rest of my life. Somehow I found myself talking. The first time I was going to handle Bible study in fellowship, unfortunately, they put all the Jim Jim brothers in my group. That's when I needed to pray and ask for help. I said, God, I can't fumble in this class. Because these are all the Jim brothers that know Bible in my unit. Because if you make mistake, they will say, brush it. That's not what the Bible says. I said, Holy Ghost. That was my first experience. I learned that it is God who helps. They didn't burn me with it. And nobody here was born with anything. Really, technically speaking. But, you, like Pastor Ogie said, his daughters were like that. Well, I don't want to make fun of my son. It's not like as if I want to make fun of him. At his age, we went to the international airport, and my brother said, come and see the super puma he flies. And we got to the airport, and we saw the puma. It was open. I wanted to get inside. I wanted to carry Jamiloju inside. My God, he almost had a heart attack. And it was good. This guy will die in my hand. I had to carry him away. Because of him, I didn't enter that super puma. But you see, you don't understand. When I was his age, small gutter looked like eternity. You know, you look into the bottomless pit. It was as if I will just fall inside. I don't want to keep giving me the pressure that I will fall inside it. Even though they are carrying me, you know. Today, it doesn't mean anything to me. I just go without even thinking about it. It's called growth. Yes, sir. Be patient with yourself. Be patient with others. Don't, because you've made a mistake one time, you stop doing it. In case you do not know, You did not start walking the first day you attempted it. You tried it once, you failed. You tried it, you kept trying until you began to walk. So what makes you think that now that you have grown up, you are better? It's not like that. Keep trying until you get better. Hallelujah. Am I okay? Praise God. Let us go to John chapter 6. God is our helper, and he will keep helping us in Jesus' name. Amen. So much has been said about that first John. I don't know. You can't read the epistle of John enough. That book is loaded. Every statement is loaded. It's as if the man just summarized points and left it for us to go and start expounding on it. So I salute all of you that tried to explain it. You really, really tried. Hallelujah. And I won't be adding anything to that this morning. Amen. But if you still can go over them again, please go over them. Verse by verse, word by word. See the way John used words. Not like Paul. He didn't use words like Paul. Paul would try use many words to explain. He was using words in a very, very interesting way. That if you are not careful, you will have a dick, you know. And I don't normally tell a young believer to start with the book of John. I don't send him there. I send him to Matthew, to Mark, to Luke. But when you are more mature, you can understand the gospel of John. Because it's very mystical. Praise God. And this is part of what I want us to look at this morning. John chapter 6. Can we? I'm going to read quite some scriptures. Amen. Okay. Let's take it from verse 41. I'm going to read some scriptures so that we can have a overview of what I want to say. It says, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and therefore hath learnt of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven. A man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and shall raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. And the living Father hath sent me, I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Can you see him keeping, just kept repeating it, I'm the bread of life. You eat me, you live. Except you eat and you drink, you can't live. Praise the Lord. And so when he was going, he said, this is the sacrifice, this is the offering that I'm presenting. It's called the communion. That every time you eat it, you testify. Every time you eat it, you come into agreement. Every time you eat it, reestablish your commitment and your covenant Praise God. Because there is a promise and there is a hope of eternal life. There's a promise of life embedded in it. Hallelujah. The Bible says, give me 58. I'm not in 56. It's not where it was. And I said, and this is that bread. This is that bread. Remember one thing. Praise God. The Bible says when he gave them that bread to eat, they ate for 40 years. 40 years they ate every day. It was a discipline of a type. Amen. But they kept eating. And not realizing that it was a figurative thing, basically. It was not really the reality. But even if that which was figurative was that powerful, you ask, how was it powerful? The Bible required that because of the manner they ate, that the clothes on their body did not wear out. In other words, as they were growing, their clothes were growing with them. And the clothes did not, it didn't wear out. Amen. I was looking for a more graphic word. It didn't tear. They didn't have time to wash. There was no water anywhere to wash. Praise God. Some of you have body odor. If you don't wash, nobody will stand beside you. Amen. But can you imagine them in the wilderness for 40 years, no water to bathe? How do you think they were cleaning? Hello? It didn't occur to you. Some of you, because you have boiled water, you bathe in the morning, you bathe in the afternoon, you bathe in the evening. If it's possible, you will have done swimming pool for yourself. Praise God. Now, if we put you inside that scenario, you won't survive 2 days. Because there's no water. You'll be sweating, everything will be, no AC, no nothing. But the Bible told us that was the effect that manna had on their physical body. None of them was sick. You've not walked, you've not done a marathon. There was a brother, we call him Spirit. He had eaten so much spirit, he dared himself and said he would go walk from Akure to Akumba. He did prayer walk from here to Akumba. He left in the morning, got there in the evening. I think he almost left about 2 days after the exercise. Something that a madman will do effortlessly and he won't feel it. Praise God. So if the people walked in the wilderness for 40 years, you will need something supernatural to sustain you. That was what that natural bread did for them. Amen. But I said, this is the real bread. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not the one your father said. The ones your father said, they still died. This one, when you eat, you can't die. Amen. Now, it looks like a contradiction because, say, but Pastor, are we not going to be sick? Just like we're talking about 1 John 3:9. Look, there are realities in the realm of the spirit. These are realities. These are things that are done. They are done deals. They are done. Appropriation is the problem. Can you appropriate it into your own reality? The Bible said, if you hear, God said of Abraham, said, I have made you the father of many nations. He didn't say, I will make you. He said, I have made. It was up to Abraham to come into that reality. He had to align. He had to activate and align. Are you with me? As far as God was concerned, he stopped seeing Abraham as a single person, was seeing him as a father of many nations. You now go implement that. So how did he do it? The Bible says he reckoned himself. He had to change the way he was thinking. He had to start seeing the way God was seeing. Amen. Amen. That is the training you and I must go through on earth. To align our mental processes to be like that of God. Said, I'm that bread of life. If we will eat this bread, he says, you will not die. That is the antidote to death. It looks very simple. It looks very unrealistic. But it's also the same thing. And as difficult as it was with the first generation believers, when they said, go in, he said, I have given you the land. Go and possess it. I have given you. And they got there and they saw giants. Those giants represented impossibility. And then they looked at themselves and said, we look like grasshoppers in the eyes. I don't know how they entered their eyes. When you look at that reality, it says you will not die. You look at that. All my parents, all of them are all dying around me. How can it be that I will not die? It's the same unbelief. But can you just trust God that every time I partake of this bread and wine, I remember that Jesus conquered sin. He conquered hell. He conquered death. He says, because I live, you also will live. And so as we take this communion this morning, it's about life. Tell your neighbor it's about life. If you will believe, you will live. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. It's not okay. The woman said, Lord, I know in the resurrection my brother will live. Say, I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm talking about now. Say, I am the resurrection and the life. It's not a tomorrow thing. Can we mentally stop putting some of these things to tomorrow? If you and I will stop putting these things to tomorrow, you will see the reality of these things in your life. Hallelujah. Your physical body will begin to react and begin to align. Amen. You will find that you just begin to align. It just your body will begin to change. Praise God. I said, praise God. Oh, don't be unbelieving. Don't be unbelieving. Don't be unbelieving. Can you see the things that need to live in your life? There are things that need to live. They are looking as if they are dying. The Bible said that Sarah received strength to conceive. She received strength. The strength has always been there. She just woke up one morning and said, now I will get it. And she laid hold upon it. It was not the faith of Abraham that impregnated Sarah. Abraham believed, but it was Sarah that went herself to go and believe God. It's very individualistic. You have to believe God. She was past age. Say, because she judged him faithful. It was her that judged, not Abraham. Oh, they said, Abraham, he was one who gave Isaac. No, no. Without this woman believing, there was no Isaac. There would have been no Isaac. So it was through faith that Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Lord, I pray that you will bless us and grant us strength this morning. That we may also receive seed in the name of Jesus. There are children that ought to be delivered and brought forth. Whatever it is that is stopping those, I receive strength. Even from this communion, to birth this life. Oh, to birth this life in the name of Jesus. Father, I bless this communion table. In the name of God the Father. In the name of God the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You said if we eat and we will drink, we shall have life. Let this communion communicate life to every one of us, even spiritual and physical, in the name of Jesus. Let our hearts be strengthened, that we'll be able to conceive the things that you have given to us, even that you have the riches and the blessings you have given us in Christ Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We receive it with thanksgivings. Because we pray together in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Pastors, please.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our Men of Spirit Field meetings, School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m., Governmental Prayers every Thursday 6 p.m., Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.